Well, this morning we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 13. We just got through looking at Genesis 12, and I really enjoyed that. Hopefully you enjoyed that as well as what a powerful lesson of failure, you're right? I mean, if you ever wonder about your own failure, you ever wonder about how God sees your failure, look at Abraham. Abraham failed for the whole world to see. Amen to that? Man, you think you fail, well, a few people see your failures, right? Millions and millions of people have seen Abraham's failures. And we're about to see here in a minute how God gives Abraham peace in the middle of his failure. So if you own your failure, if you can't get rid of your failure, if your failure is something that is right in front of your face and you just can't deal with that, or maybe your failure is so bad that you just can't acknowledge it. You know, you have to hide it. You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to speak it. Hopefully today with regard to Abraham and seeing his failure, it might help you. As to introduce the topic, Tamara and I were talking yesterday about this passage and really about the story of what Abraham did with Lot. Many of you know the story, and so it might be easy for you. But basically, Abraham gave Lot of half of all the land that basically God had given him. And Tamara and I were talking about what would our lives be like if we lived with that type of mentality, that what's best for me is only what's best for you. Wow. Now, we can think about that on a Sunday school level. We can think about that on a church level, and that's one thing. But to think about that on the reality of what that is, I don't know how to live my life that way, and I'll be honest. I don't even know how to start. That's different. That's a total paradigm shift. And we were talking about how that, just Tamara was driving down the road, and she was saying how that somebody stopped in front of her, and if she was really able to not think about her stuff and only think about that person in front of her stuff, what would that change? How would that change her life? How would that change the world? And really, this passage is going to stretch us in that way. It's going to stretch us to ask the question, what does it mean? What does it really mean to live for someone else? Does it mean, it's a combination of doing what's good for me and doing what's good for others. And as long as doing what's good for others is good, what's good for me, right? And think about that. That's the way I think. That's exactly how I think. And doing for others is proportional in how it works out for me. Does it affect me financially? Does it benefit me financially? Is it going to help me in the long run? It's okay, but if this is to my detriment, well, that's a little bit different. We can talk superficially, and that's okay. I can serve others superficially. When we're talking about a way of life, it's different. It's really different. So hopefully this morning will help you, will challenge you, help you think about some of these things, and really help us see what happened in Abraham's life, the switch. He went from being selfish at one point, just last chapter, to really putting God first, and how putting God first allowed him to put others first. It's a beautiful section. Hopefully you get that. Hopefully I'm able to communicate that to you this morning. Well, just to bring us up to speed from last week so that all this will make sense. Understand, number one, that we have now switched gears. Now that we got to Genesis 12, we've now switched gears a little bit in the motif of Genesis. Now, 1 through 11 is a little bit more theological than the rest of the Pentateuch. And the rest of the Pentateuch is really is that of instruction through stories. Now, some of you in this room, don't raise your hand, some of you in this room are storytellers, right? You love telling stories, and you actually teach through telling stories, and that is a lost art, isn't it? It's a fun lost art. Think about the relatives you've had, the friends you've had as a child that were the most funnest, right? Funnerest? Most funnest? Who were those? It was the storytellers, right? You enjoyed those. You enjoyed. We had a bunch of kids from Masters College come over. Now it's Masters University, sorry. They came over last year, and they enjoyed going to Dick and Bonnie's house. Now, we just tell him it was because of his storytelling, but really it was because of Bonnie's cooking. No, they enjoyed Dick's storytelling, and that's something that is important. And we're going to see as we go through Genesis that the stories have a point. Does that make sense? They're not just stories. They're not just historical information, but they are lessons for Israel. So each story has a specific lesson. Last story was about worry. It was about being selfish, about not trusting God. This one is just the opposite. It's about trusting God, about finding peace over his failures and his strife. We see last week that Abraham, he went down into Egypt because there was a famine. God placed that there. I don't think it was a bad decision on his part. I think it was a good decision. He went down into Egypt. As he was going down into Egypt, he took life on his own shoulders. He tried to figure life out in his own power. Has anybody ever done that? Right? Yeah, he said, look, this guy is going to kill me. Because you're beautiful. And talking to his wife. And so he had this masterful plan that did not include God, that didn't include worship, didn't include him going to God and asking for anything, didn't include anything with God. It was only his strength, and he failed. And we know that. He failed. Failed miserably. I've had ladies come up to me about this passage and says, I cannot believe this passage is in Scripture. It says horrible. It is. It's not nice. It is not something that we say, good job, Abraham. No, we look at this passage and we say, Abraham failed. You say, well, I've never failed like that. And you might not have, but we've all failed. Amen? And that's what we learn from this story. And that's what we carry into this next story, the next aspect of Abraham's life. That Abraham had just failed. He had gotten run out of town. And now Moses tells the other half of the story, and that we find in chapter 13. Now, Clark is ill today. He has ailments, so he is not going to be able to read. So I'm going to try to read in his behalf. So if you would stand for me, we are going to read Genesis chapter 13 to the best of my ability. So Abraham went up to Egypt, went up from Egypt to the Negev, and he and his wife and all of his belongings belonged to him, and Lot with him. Now Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver, and in gold. He went on his journey from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly, and there where Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, whom went to Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we're brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the valley of the Jordan valley of the Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the Garden of Eden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Verse 12, Abraham settled in the land of Canaanite, and while Lot settled in the cities of the valleys and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked extremely and sinners against the Lord. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. I'll make your descendants as the dust of the sea, so that if anyone can number."